Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Lake Effect's wine contributor Ray Pfister has been racking up the frequent flyer miles in the past few weeks between trips to California as well as wine events closer to home. We were lucky he had time to stop by our studio to chat with us.
But he's here with us now to share news on what Napa and Sonoma vintners hope will be another very good year. Ray, welcome back. It's great to see you again.
Good to see you, Bonnie.
You've had a busy couple of weeks. My goodness, you were in California, you were in Chicago, you're back here, busy, busy, busy.
It's been kind of wine mania.
Yeah, wine mania. What is going on and why this time of year?
You know, for some odd reason, February and getting into March just seems to be busy wine time. I think it's because this is the time when the vintners have time to focus. You know, harvest is behind them now. Even the late harvest is all done, so they're pretty much able to, I don't want to say relax, but they're able to tour more, go out and visit some of the markets that they sell their wines in.
Well, now let's start with Premier Napa Valley, because you went out and you spent, well, more than the actual time out there to talk to folks. What's going on? What are some of the trends? How are people feeling about the market?
People are feeling good. Again, it was another record year. $6 million is what they brought in. And just to explain to the listeners, some people are familiar with this. Premier Napa Valley is an event held by the Napa Valley Vintners Association that does an auction. The funds from that go to fund Auction Napa Valley, which is for consumers, and that's in June. This one is only for the trade, meaning distributors, retailers, that kind of thing. And then some of us media get invited as well. So what they do is a couple of days of events before it, which are generally parties where you can taste these barrels that they're offering for auction. They usually do like a case of 5, 10, or 20 for a particular lot. I believe there were 225 lots this year. That was a record high. And then people get to bid on them. And that, again, that money goes to fund the auction. And that's done on Saturday. You do a barrel tasting in the morning up until noon. And then in the afternoon, the auction itself takes place. That's all done at the Culinary Institute of America in Napa Valley.
Anything you were really excited about that you tasted?
You know, it's the thing when you taste these wines, unfortunately, they're wines that I normally wouldn't get to actually drink from the bottle. I get to do the barrel tasting mostly. And they are exciting. Mostly Cabernets, but there were some winemakers. Madonna Estate did their Dolcetto, which is, you know, swimming upstream, which is kind of cool in Cab country. There was some, I think there were one or two Pinot Noirs. There was some Sauvignon Blanc, that kind of thing, but primarily Cabernet Sauvignon. But for me, when I arrived there, I stay with a winemaker friend of mine, and we went out to dinner one night with a few other people in the business, and one of our guests brought along a bottle of Premier Wine, which I believe was an 11 vintage, and it was really something to drink. A lot of wine in general that evening, but that was the one that stood out for me. Beautiful, smooth, you know, just a great finish, a wonderful wine. So it's nice to really be able to enjoy it, and that bottle probably went for about $350 would be my guess.
Right. I was going to say, well beyond most of our budgets.
Well, the biggest lot was the name brand, and they went for $112,000, I believe. So that's a pretty good chunk of change. And again, it was a record. Last year was 5.9, and this year they did 6. So, you know, the auction continues to go up. So that tells me, from the economy point of view, they're doing very well out there. And, of course, the interest in wine continues to grow.
Well, and also they're producing something that's worth paying that money for.
Absolutely. Well, these are rare wines. These are not something every day you can buy. And these retailers can buy them. They'll have special Premier Napa Valley labels on them, and they'll be able to sell them or do as they please with them. If you see one of these labels in a store, I always say grab it up, because it is going to be a very special wine.
So after Napa Valley, you were a little south. You went to Chicago, and there's other things going on.
Right. We did, we had a wine dinner Tuesday night after I got back here at Ristorante Bartolotta, which was with an Italian winemaker. And forgive me, I can't remember the label name, and of course, I probably couldn't pronounce it anyway. And that was a wonderful dinner. So last Tuesday in Chicago for Sonoma in the City, which is an event where they pick out a couple of cities, and a bunch of these winemakers will come and visit, and they'll do a consumer tasting. They did a Sonoma Masterclass first, which I didn't get to go to in Chicago because I was doing an interview. This was done at the Drake in downtown. After the Masterclass, there's a trade tasting, which is, again, trade and media. And then in the evening, consumers could buy tickets. And there's about 100 vintners there. So it's a pretty good crowd. And pretty much anything, you know, Sonoma, you can taste a lot of Pinot Noir, a lot of Chardonnay, some Zinfandel, Gewurztraminer, some Riesling. Very interesting crowd and a lot of diversity.
And what about here? You said there was also something up here that they're starting to bring these kinds of tastings to Milwaukee as well.
Well, I think they're paying more attention to markets like this. This was the same organization. Sonoma and the city did this. It's the Sonoma Grape Growers, actually. And they brought it here to Milwaukee. It wasn't as big of a tasting. What they did simply was the Pinot Noir Masterclass, which was hosted by the Sonoma Grape Growers, also hosted by a gentleman by the name of Evan Goldstein, who's a master sommelier. So it was very entertaining to watch this guy, whose palate's just way out of reach for me to understand, doing, we did 12 Pinot Noirs before lunch. We did lunch, and during lunch we did four Chardonnays, four Cabernet Sauvignons, and four Zinfandels. So it was an intense day because you're pretty much sitting through most of this. We get some breaks, but a lot of tasting, a lot of spitting for our listeners so they know.
That you're not drinking all of this.
Pretty hard.
You're tasting it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to imbibe it because you would definitely be lost at the end of the day. And the crowd was made up of not only media and trade. The sommelier from Bacchus was there. By the way, this was held at Bacchus. A woman who is the assistant manager at Capital Grill, who is also studying to become a sommelier, was there. A number of interesting people and winemakers I knew, Chris Donatello from C. Donatello Wines in Sonoma, and a few other very interesting people.
Looking ahead, what are you excited about? What do you think is going to be ready this spring that people should be looking for?
Well, I think number one is looking at the 2014 vintage. We've had three extraordinary vintages in a row, 12, 13, and 14. You know, everybody's kind of curious what's going to happen in 15. Of course, we don't know because we're just coming to the end of winter, finally. And they've already had a little bit of a bud break there, so they had a very, very good winter in terms of overall weather. Still need the rain. California's still in a drought, so they're struggling with that. In fact, I want to point out one quick aside for what it's worth. I was talking to one of the winemakers. It's a winemaker for Paul Hobbs. And at her hotel room, she was talking about how enjoyable it was to take a full shower, to not worry about how long she ran the water. Some of us folks who don't realize how good we have it. That whole drought thing is such a major issue out there. So anyway, 12 was such an extraordinary vintage after 11, which was a challenging vintage. And again, 11 has been wrapped heavily by the critics, but I always tell listeners, try these wines first. There's some extraordinary 11s. But 13 was another great one, followed by 14. Everybody's sitting on the edge of their chair to see what's going to happen in 15. Three in a row is pretty unusual. So certainly for Napa and Sonoma, they're very, very happy. As far as what's going to be new, you know, Napa, Cabernet, I love it.
And you really can't go wrong.
No, not at all. Although, you know, if you look hard enough, people always talk about the pricing out there, and admittedly, it can be very expensive. But number one, look at Sonoma, because the pricing is a little less there, and that includes Pinots and Zins and everything. But if you look hard enough in Napa, you can find some good values. It's just that idea of being willing to try new things and not necessarily a label you know or you're comfortable with.
And, you know, taking those risks is always a good thing.
Totally agree. You know, that's what wine is all about, investigation, learning, you know, chasing things down.
And finding something that you love and, yeah, and enjoying it.
And share it with your friends.
Exactly. Well, Ray Pfister, thanks for sharing with us today. What's your schedule looking like in the next month or so? Are you this busy again, or are you slowing down a bit?
There's a lot coming up. I'm planning to somehow fit in a trip to Oregon, which has been delayed by a couple of years. There's another trip to Napa and Sonoma, actually specifically to Sonoma, I should say, in May. And then hopefully we'll be out there for auction Napa Valley in June. So it's going to be a busy schedule. But a lot of good podcasts. And the Sonoma podcast, by the way, comes out next week.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bonnie. Good seeing you.
Our wine contributor, Ray Pfister, runs the wine blog and podcast Life Between the Vines. Pfister also owns Fifth Floor Recording in Milwaukee's Third Ward.
A Milwaukee-turned-San Francisco police officer shares lessons he's learned on the job, some of them the hard way, when Lake Effect returns in a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.